It means the approval by testing. That sometimes God allows us to go through suffering because he's trying to test our character. He's trying to prove us. He's trying to polish us. He's trying to refine us. And these trials and tribulations come upon us. And when they come, God says, this is a test of the heavenly broadcast system. The viewers in your area have been set on notice that you are under a test. There's nothing wrong with your TV set. You don't have to adjust the dials. You don't have to turn the knob. This is only.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Suffering, Called to Suffer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Suffering, Called to Suffer.
Somebody asked C.S. Lewis, why do Christians suffer? He responded, why not? They are the only ones that can take it. Is that true of you? Is that your testimony? Why do Christians suffer? Why not? They are the only ones that can take it. So when we go through our times of suffering, we need to realize that God has ordained this in our life and that we have to go through it. As Job said, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him. Number four, suffering is an examination. James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He said, the trying of your faith. That word trying comes from the Greek word dokimazo, and it means the approval by testing. Let me try that over here. I don't think y'all got it. It means the approval by testing. That sometimes God allows us to go through suffering because he's trying to test our character. He's trying to prove us. He's trying to polish us. He's trying to refine us. And these trials and tribulations come upon us. And when they come, God says, this is a test of the heavenly broadcast system. The viewers in your area have been set on notice that you are under a test. There's nothing wrong with your TV set. You don't have to adjust the dials. You don't have to turn the knob. This is only a test. And as God tests us, as he takes us through that time of and I know y'all get tired of hearing my testimony, but I got to tell it. That couple year period when I was dealing with these infections in my legs and had 7 surgeries on my legs. In the hospital 3 times, had every test imaginable that God was purifying me. That God was working that thing out. And that, you know what, I've never journaled in my life like I did when I went through that period of suffering. I went back and I got just about a whole book of notes and things that God was speaking to me about, things that God was teaching me as I went through that time. So as you go through your suffering, and I don't care who you are, everything might be all right now, but I want to let you know, I preached a message, right, a couple months ago on running with the footman. And remember I said that, you know, we got to learn how to run with the footman, because the horses are on the way, right? God told Jeremiah, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? And remember I said, I went like this. I said, can you hear them? Can you hear the horses? The sound might be faint. They might be far away. But you know what? They're on the way. Everything might be fine in your life right now. Everything might be going well. And the horses, the sound is faint. They're at a distance. But they're getting closer. And one day, every one of us will have to deal with some type of suffering, whether it's in our life personally or whether it's happened to a loved one around us, that some way it's going to touch our lives. And when it comes, that we need to look at it as an examination and ask God to help us come through with flying colors. As we think of Rick's presentation on Richard Rembrandt and how that he was tortured for 7 years, how that he was brainwashed, how that he went through all that he went through, and he came out. Sister Nancy, you sang that song. I never lost my faith. I never lost my hope. I never lost my joy. I never lost my praise. When you go through it, how can you tell? And I know I messed the song up there, sister, but that's all right. How can you tell if you've passed the test? I've never lost my faith. I've never lost my hope. I never lost my joy. And I never lost my praise. That's how you can tell if you passed the test. Suffering is an examination. And then suffering has an ending product. Paul said, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. All things work together for good. Suffering works together for good because God has an end product in mind. I read the story about the emperor moth, who in order to develop its wing so it can fly, the moth comes through the neck of the cocoon. Now, as the moth goes through the neck of the cocoon, there's struggle, and there's pain, and there's a whole lot of movement as this moth goes through the neck of the cocoon. And eventually, it emerges as a beautiful butterfly. On one occasion, somebody snipped the cords that held the cocoon together. And the moth emerged and fluttered for a few seconds and then died. Well, why did it die? It died because it was dependent on the struggle in order to be perfected. It was dependent on the struggle so it could be perfected. And so sometimes God has an end product in mind, and he takes us through this struggle where we go through the neck of the cocoon, and we deal with mental illness, and we deal with physical illness, and we deal with emotional stress, and we deal with these things, but we struggle, and we suffer, and we fight through them, and hopefully we come out as that beautiful butterfly in the end product. Suffering dissected. It's excruciating. It's an enigma. It's established. It's an examination. And it has an ending product. And as I close this morning, how do we go through suffering? And I want to say that we go through suffering in four ways. First of all, we reach up. That anytime we go through suffering, we must reach up. We must reach up to God as we deal with the pains and struggles of this life. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 20. Job chapter 1 and verse 20. After Job lost his children and his possessions, and soon he would lose his health, verse 20 says, then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Job went through his struggle, his suffering, he reached up. He expressed his grief to God. He tore his clothes open as a sign of his pain. You know, notice that Job, when he worshiped, he didn't try to mask his pain. He didn't say, oh, everything is all right. I'm doing good. But the Bible says that he tore his mantle, that he ripped his cloth open as a sign that he was grieving. He not only expressed his grief, but he mourned his loss. Look what it says again in verse 20. He shaved his head. When Job shaved his head, that was a sign of mourning. He expressed his grief. He mourned his loss. But then what did he do? In the midst of his suffering, he fell down on his face and he worshiped God. If you are going to make it through your time of suffering, you got to worship God. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What was the last trial that you went through? Did you lose a loved one? Did you get sick? Did you have a bad relationship? What was the last trial that you went through? Let me ask you the question. What did you do? Did you worship God? Did you express your grief to God? Did you say, yeah, God, I'm hurting. Yeah, God, this is tearing me apart. But somewhere in that time, did you fall on your face? And did you put on a praise song? Or did you open up a scripture about the Almighty God and praise Him in the midst of it? See, any time that we go through suffering, we got to reach up. Secondly, when we go through suffering, we've got to reach after. So after we reach up, then we reach after. 1 Peter 4:1 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he has suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin. That Christ died as an example of suffering for us. And so that anytime I come to a point of suffering, I need to, you know what you should need to do? The next time you go through a period of suffering, do a study on the life of Christ. Because that's your example. Peter said, arm yourself with the same mind that Christ had when he suffered. So if I'm going through suffering and the Bible tells me to arm myself with the mind of Christ, then I need to know how Christ dealt with suffering. So let me even be more specific. You might want to do a study on the passion of Christ. What I mean when I say the passion? Starting with his being beaten in the garden and just follow that thing all the way through until his death on the cross. Maybe study that to see what a true example is of a person that's suffering. You know, at Easter time, we do the seven words, right? The seven words from the cross. Just think about some of those words. Father, forgive them. Son, behold thy mother. Just think, just look at what Christ. And then as we go through our suffering, we follow after him, as Peter tells us. Through it all, when we go through suffering, we reach up, we reach after, and then we reach within. James said, count it all joy. We talked about this last week. Count it all joy when you come into periods of suffering. Find the joy that's in you. God has placed within you joy. You're going to say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't have any joy. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit leave you when you're suffering? No. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. So you got joy. It's down in there. You just got to find it. Don't let suffering rob you of your joy. Find that joy that's deep rooted in your soul in the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but you got to reach within to find patience to endure during the time of suffering. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And he's speaking to people who are going through suffering. And he says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer, he waits for the precious fruit of earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Reach within. You got to reach within you and find patience. You got to find the patience. And James not only tells us that we need to have patience, but he gives us an example of patience. What is the example? The farmer. That the farmer plants. How many farmers plant and plant tomato seeds one day and go out the next day and eat tomatoes? It don't happen like that. You plant it, and then you wait a couple of months before you actually eat the fruit. And James says that when you go through suffering, that you need to have the patience of the farmer. That the farmer's not going out there every day saying, okay, little plant, come on up. I need some tomatoes. Hurry up and grow. But the farmer plants and is patient. And faithfully, the farmer cultivates and weeds and does everything that he needs to do in order to give that plant the best chance of producing fruit. Oh, y'all missed that one. Y'all missed that one. The farmer does everything he can to make sure that he has the best fruit possible. And so while you're reaching within with this patience, you need to be doing the things that's fertilizing your patience. Prayer, Bible reading, coming to church. Some people, when they go through suffering, they disconnect themselves from God. Can't do that. You got to continue to be connected to the Lord. And then finally, how do you go through suffering? You reach up to worship God. You reach after the example that Christ set. You reach in to find joy and patience. And then finally, you reach out to somebody else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any way troubled by the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. Wow. Wow. So we suffer, and we miss the whole boat. God says, in the midst of your suffering, that whatever I'm doing in your life, that you go out and you comfort somebody else. You find maybe somebody that's dealing with the same thing that you're dealing with. You know how you find somebody? Pray. God will show you folk. Or ask Pastor Glaze. Who can I pray with that needs prayer? Who's struggling? Right? God comforts you. And you're supposed to take that same comfort that he gave you and comfort somebody else. You're one of the powerful things that comes out of the whole Holocaust was the Jewish people who were in those concentration camps, who were Christians, and how that they went around and comforted other people who were in persecuted situations, who were in torturous situations. The word comfort here. Now, this ought to knock your socks off. The word comfort here. You know what the Greek word is? Parakletos. Anybody know what word we get? The Holy Spirit. You are not the Holy Spirit, but you can have the same ministry. You can have the same ministry as the Holy Spirit. That God can use you like he uses the Holy Spirit to comfort somebody else. Our prayer for this morning as we close out. Please help me, Lord, when I go through times of suffering. I must confess that my initial response to suffering is to pray that it would go away. However, I ask you to give me a godly perspective on suffering. First, help me identify the source of my suffering. Second, as I go through it, let me reach up to worship you. Remind me to reach after the example of dealing with suffering that Christ has set for me to follow. Let me reach inside of myself to find the God-given resources to deal with my suffering. As I reach out, show me someone who is suffering that I can comfort. Lord, we pray that you would help us. First of all, Lord, as we focus on this week, that you would help us to deal with and pray for our brothers and sisters of our body around the world who are suffering and being persecuted. Lord, let us purpose in our heart that every day, this week, and hopefully it'll start into something that will go beyond this week. But help us every day to pray for persecuted Christians around the world. Starting today, Lord, help us when we get up in the morning and spend our devotion time with you, or if we have our devotion time at some other point, help us, Lord, to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that are persecuted. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help us, if we are personally dealing with suffering, that you would help us to use this message today so that we can deal with any suffering that we might have to go through in life. And then, Lord, finally, if there's somebody that you have placed in our lives who is struggling, dealing with loss, dealing with illness, dealing with some other malady, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to reach out to them and minister to their hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Criticism: Thin Skin Leads to Sin. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Suffering, Called to Suffer, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Suffering, Called to Suffer. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Suffering, Called to Suffer. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.